If you will, get your Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It is a joy to be with you again this evening. I've been looking forward to this evening's service as well, and always thankful for every opportunity to come together with God's people and worship Him and to meditate upon His Word. And it's good to see all of you tonight. I've got longtime friends in the number this evening, Mark and Shauna Miller. I've known them for a number of years, and they're good friends of mine. And then lo and behold, another friend of mine married into the family. Devin married Meredith. And so now I've got worlds colliding all over the place, and it's a wonderful thing. So it's good to see them, very close to them as well. But what a blessing to be with all of you and to be able to worship God. Our scripture reading tonight was taken from this passage. Let's look at it one more time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 13, as we think about some life-changing questions that God has the answer to. The questions that we really need to know the answers to. Those answers come from God. We have questions. I'm studying the book of Job at home, teaching a series through the book of Job, an overview. And Job had a lot of questions, and he didn't get the answers he thought he was looking for. But he was told what he needed to know. And the same is true of our questions today. God tells us what we need to know. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 13, we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this He called you. We're talking about God's calling tonight. It was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Notice several things that go together in this passage as he weaves a mosaic of what it means for God to even call us today. Notice as we look in verse 13, we see that God chose you. He decided that He would make an offer of salvation. And what He chose was to give everybody the opportunity, but He also chose that only those who would respond would receive the blessing of that. Notice that He chose them from the beginning for salvation. He wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, but He chose that it would be by sanctification through the Spirit and belief in the truth, and not everybody responds appropriately to the gospel of Jesus. But if someone stays outside of Christ, if someone remains unsaved, it's not because God and His power and His wisdom are lacking. It's because they haven't responded to the power and wisdom that God displayed to give us this great hope. Our sanctification, our calling and sanctification comes through the Spirit of God as we believe in the truth. Now, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in more detail tomorrow night. But in John chapter 16, remember Jesus describes the Holy Spirit in this fashion. He says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you, saying this to the apostles, He will guide you into all of the truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth, not only because He tells the truth, but because He is the revealer of all the truth of God's Word that we have made available to us by the Lord. And so we're sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit when we listen to what the Holy Spirit has revealed, and it builds faith in us, and thus what God is calling us to, we receive as we listen to the gospel. He elaborates in verse 14, how did He call us? He called us through the gospel. So think about this. When Jesus was on the earth and He was going to send apostles out on limited commission, in what fashion did He send them out? Two by two. And then when he sent the 70 out on limited commission, two by two. Why did he send those guys out? Why did he send them out? Well, he sent them out to work miracles. Yeah, well, he sent them out to work miracles, but was that really the heart and soul of it? No, he sent them out to teach the Word of God. And the miracles were the verification that the Word they were speaking is really from God. Jesus' own miracles were for that purpose. And later he said that the others who worked miracles, they would do that to show that what they spoke was really from God. And so he sent them out with the Word and to show that it was God's Word. They healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, oh, except that one time. And then they did all that to verify the Word that was given. Well, every time God did that back then, and every time we see it in Scripture that God had miracles worked and the Word preached, that was because He's trying to call people, to salvation. So then at the end of His ministry, He told the apostles, go into all the world and make disciples, make learners, make adherents who listen, make disciples, baptizing them. And then to command them all the things that the Lord commands. God calls us today through the gospel. That's how we gain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the final day, if we want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. If we will hear those words in the final day, it will be because we listened to His words while we were still here on earth. And so He calls us by the gospel. And then in verse 15, He says, now listen, I want you to also hold firm to the traditions that were given to you. And here's where we need to take a pause. The word tradition simply means something that has been handed down, something given from one person to another or one generation to another. It's something handed down. Now, one of my favorite human traditions that has been handed down, okay, never mind, I took it up and I'll hand it down to the next generation, and that is on my birthday. You know what my mama makes me every year on my birthday? And I kid you not, I said this, and a sister in Alabama made both of these things when I got through. I didn't tell her about one of them. I just said about one. Blackberry cobbler. Yeah, I heard that. One of the finest substances in the history of the world. I love that. Yeah, I see a lot of heads nodding out there. That is a wonderful human tradition, and if you haven't adopted it, I highly suggest that you do. But that's a human tradition. That has nothing to do with heaven. That has everything to do with, here's something that humans do, some humans do, and it's important to them, and they carry it on from generation to generation. And if it dies out one of these days, who cares? It won't make you should care. But who cares? It won't make a big difference in the grand scheme of things. If a human tradition dies out, that's not what He's talking about here. These are not human traditions, because tradition means something handed down. And while we normally mean human traditions when we use the word, there are also divine traditions. There are things that God has handed down. And the things that God has handed down are not things that we can say, yeah, I'll do that or not do that. They're God's expectations for us. They are God's will for us that we must follow. Baptism is a divine tradition. God handed that down, and He wants us to teach our children and hand that down. He wants us to teach everybody we can and hand that down. Why? Because it came from God. It is the Word of God. And the way that God handed things down from Himself to humanity, notice in verse 15, two ways, whether you were taught by word or by epistle. In other words, the way God made known what He wanted us on earth to know and to do is He had Holy Spirit-inspired people speak it, and He had some of them write it down. And we don't have any of the speakers still here with us today who are handing down fresh words from God, but we have the word that never grows old that's in that book called the Bible. And that's how we know what God wants us to know today. So how does God call us? God calls us through His Word. He calls us through the written Word. He calls us through the Gospel. He calls us by that which the Holy Spirit revealed for our sanctification. He calls us by the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The calling of God made known to us so that we will know the word of the Lord. And we will obey the word of the Lord. The truth of God revealed in the Bible, so we can be a part of His church and we can have fellowship with Him and fellowship with one another, and we will grow in our love for Him, and the degree to which we believe will grow stronger day by day, and we will more and more be a holy people to honor and glorify the Lord. And this morning I said Genesis to Revelation. And today I'll say not just from Genesis to Revelation, but also from Exodus to Jude. The Lord has revealed His will for us. And so we're called through the written Word. And now we're going to do an in-depth study of every verse that's on the board. Just kidding. So in John chapter 16, when the Spirit comes, His primary work will be to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Of sin because they do not know me. Of righteousness because I go away and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. And this is the very same passage where a little bit later on He says, I have many more things to say to you now, apostles, as I've been ministering with you for 3.5 years, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all of the truth. For He, the Holy Spirit of God, will not speak on His own authority, but what He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine. He will take of what is mine and disclose it to you. How does God call us today? Through the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the work of the Holy Spirit was revealed by the apostles, and it was revealed so it might be preached. John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. There we see that unity among disciples is as we listen to the Holy Word of God and we do the will of God. And so it is, again, it is by His Word. It is by the truth revealed by the Spirit that we become one. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, the theme verses, you might say, of the Gospel of John, it says, truly, He wrote about 7 or 8 miracles that Jesus did. And at the end of the book, He says, truly, many other signs Jesus did in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. How's God calling us today? Through the written Word. That's how God is calling us today. And then we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, many of you have that memorized. All Scripture. Scripture means written, the written Word. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And remember, the Holy Spirit came to the apostles to guide them into all of the truth. And then in chapter 20, those words were written down so we would know about Jesus. So all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I love the way the New King James reads in the rest of that verse, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, let me ask you something. How much extra Holy Spirit do I need in order to be able to follow God, besides what the Spirit has revealed in words in the pages of our Bible, how much more of the Spirit do I need to be able to do that? I don't need any extra electricity of the Spirit coursing through my veins, making my palm tingle, or anything else in order for me to do the will of God. I need to listen to what God has revealed. What God has revealed. You know, so many people today, they say, you know, Shane, the Lord has called me unto something great. Now, first, let me stop you right there. I don't disagree with you about that. He has called you to something great. Where we're going to end up disagreeing is when some people think it's something that's not biblical. He's called me to something great. He has spoken to me, okay? Spirit has spoken to me too, but not in my ear and not in my brain directly. The Holy Spirit has spoken to me in the pages of His Word. And we just quoted in 2 Timothy 3 how that what the Spirit has revealed in the pages of the inspired Word, that is to make us everything that God wants us to be. There's nothing left outside of that. Well, but you need the Holy Spirit to kind of electricize you. Is that a word? I don't think so. You need the Holy Spirit to kind of charge you up and get you going, because if the Holy Spirit is coursing through your veins, then you'll follow the Word of God. No, the Word of God is the power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. No matter where you're from or who you are, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that the written Word of God is everything that God wants us to know and do to follow Him. It is the power. Somebody says, well, but the Bible, the Bible's just a book. If you're saying that God doesn't indwell us directly, that God only indwells us through the Word, then you're saying, well, that's just the Bible in me. Okay, two things. Number one, what is the Bible? What is the Bible? Is it not the Word of God? If I have listened to the Bible, have I not listened to God? And if I listen to the Bible, and yes, I'm listening to God, then doesn't that change me? If I take it seriously, doesn't that change me? Doesn't that build faith in me like Romans 10:17 says it does? Doesn't that build love in me like the whole New Testament says that it does? Doesn't that build obedience in me as the whole Bible says that it does? Doesn't the Bible do that? Yes. Well, then what are we really looking for? So there's a preacher in Fort Worth, and he's way out in left field in lots of ways, but his name is Rick Atchley, and you might have heard this. This was about, 10 years ago. You may have heard this. This made big news all over the country. And he told about how that one Sunday that he was preaching. And he says, and I was standing on that spot right over there. John says, I can't go that far away. He's on that spot right over, just kidding, John. He's on that spot right over there. And he says, and 10 years ago, when I was on that spot, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit said, you ready? The Holy Spirit said, John would never say anything like this. Rick, how long is it going to be before you stop giving people the impression that you think using mechanical instruments in worship is wrong? When are you going to speak up and tell them that it's okay to use mechanical instruments in worship? Now, number one, it took him 10 years. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you think it's going to take you 10 years to get around to it? Took him 10 years. And secondly, the Holy Spirit supposedly and told him directly something that you can't find in the New Testament. In fact, the principles of the New Testament and the specific teaching of the New Testament would say that when he says mechanical instruments are okay, he's gone past the New Testament, past the cross of Jesus. He's gone back to the law of Moses because you can't find that in the gospel of Jesus. In the New Testament, every passage they sang. They sang. But he said the Holy Spirit told him that. Okay, you might have heard this one. This was about 10 years ago also. And by the way, 10 years ago, actually told about something that happened supposedly 10 years ago. This last one, it was just about 10 years ago, period. This one made the news too. You might have seen this one. A young woman in Tennessee was in a preaching internship with a congregation, a Church of Christ in Tennessee, and she said that God made her feel at peace about working as a preacher with the church, like John does with this one, like I do at home, like Devin does at Mustang, etc., working with the church as a preacher, and that she said, you know, whenever I walk into a room and I feel peace, then that's God telling me this is what He wants me to do. You know, I've thought about that statement, and number one, how many times has the Holy Spirit told people to do things that are the opposite of what the Bible says? How many times has He done that? Zero. Okay. God has never told anybody, the Holy Spirit's never told anybody to do anything that would contradict what the Holy Spirit revealed in the pages of this Word. But you know the other thing about that, as I think about that, she said, well, if I go into a room and I have peace, then that means this is what God wants me to do. And so preaching, in her case, obviously, she thinks. So when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He was praying to God about His coming crucifixion, how much peace did Jesus have about what He was facing? How much peace did He have? Did He know what He was supposed to do? Yes. Was He going to do it? Yes. Did He feel really, really comfortable about it all? Did Jesus not pray three times in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Great sweat drops as of blood fell from His brow as He prayed to God. Did He feel peace, complete peace about what He was about to do? No, but was it God's will that He do it? And did He do it? Yes. Yes. You see, our lives before God and our preaching and teaching are not about how comfortable we feel when we're doing it. It is, are we doing what God says? Jonah finally listened to God and finally went to Nineveh. Did he feel real good about that? No, he ran away the first time. He gets a second chance and he goes back. You think he was like, all right, I got this. This is easy. No. It was not easy. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Word of God, and He tells us the will of God for our lives, and He tells it in written fashion, and He does that so that we will follow God, not listen to our hearts, not listen to our feelings, not listen to our friends. Listen to the Word of God. Written down by apostles and prophets, Revelation chapters 2 and 3, what goes at the end of every one of those short letters to the seven churches? If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Mark chapter 4 and verse 9, Jesus said, if anyone has ears. In Mark chapter 4 verse 23, Jesus says it again. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Mark chapter 16, go and preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's hearing the Word of God and obeying the Word of God. Now I want to turn to Jude 3 with you though. Turn to Jude verse 3. one of the last parts of the New Testament, one of the last letters written in the collection, Jude in verse 3, the writer says, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation," that's what I really wanted to talk about, "I felt it necessary to write to you appealing that you earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints." Now, stand up for the truth of God. Okay, that's the point. But I want you to notice how he says it. He says, "the faith," which is the gospel, "which was one time for all time delivered to the saints." God's not giving us fresh revelations and new words from the Holy Spirit to help enlighten us and move us forward today, because the Bible's an old and outdated book, and we need something to help kind of rejuvenate us and make us feel a rush of the Spirit of God. No, the Word of God, the truth that transforms us, was revealed one time, and that was finished toward the end of the first century, and that is sufficient for all time. It is the faith once delivered to the saints. That is how God speaks to us today through the Word of God. Do we need redemption, forgiveness, salvation in Jesus? Yes. And that's why we need to listen to His calling in the Word of God. Do we need holiness to be more like Jesus and to grow to be like Him as time goes on? Yes. And so we need the Word of God. Do we need to be equipped for service to God so that we can serve Him well? Yes. And that's why we need the written Word of God. And do we need eternal hope of eternal glory? Yes. And that's why we need the written Word of God. My friends, that's why we need to read it, study it, meditate upon it, incorporate it into our thoughts and into our lives, and teach it to others. The written Word of God. The written Word of God. So, just told this very recently, and I'd never heard of this before, but true story. A church somewhere in Texas, a community church, a charismatic church, and they have classes of various kinds. And one of the classes they have, you go in there and you close your eyes and you visualize Jesus in your mind, and then you open up your heart. So if Jesus were to appear to you, what would He say to you now? Okay, well, let me just kind of shortcut. If He were to do that, you know what He'd tell you to do? He'd tell you, "Get the book out and read, because I already revealed it." That's what He'd tell you. That's what He'd tell you, because this is what He gave. But they're doing that. They're working on the emotions of people and the imaginations of people, and get people thinking outside the written Word of God. We don't need to think outside the written Word of God. We need to keep our minds and our hearts in the book, and that will grow us in our faith, because that's why God gave us this. That's why God gave us this. Okay, the same church had another class, and so you get a piece of paper and you get a pen or a pencil, and you just let your mind go free and you just start writing. And whatever comes out, that's what the Holy Spirit is telling you. No, the Holy Spirit already told us the faith. He told it to us, Jude verse 3, once, one time, sufficient for all time. So 2 Timothy 3, when we read the written Word of God, we know everything God wants us to know and do. It is in what has been revealed here. Somebody says, "Well, Shane, that just takes all the devotion and all the emotion out of it." Do I sound like I'm unemotional up here? Do I sound like there's no devotion in what I'm saying? I've got a card on my desk. And this card was written by a lovely lady who happens to be sitting on the second pew over here. And it was a card that she wrote to me several months ago on a special occasion. And when I look at that card, and I was working on my desk, which, as she knows and Devin knows, my desk is always in need of great help. I was working on my desk the other day, and I came across it again because I keep it where I can find it, and I saw it again. And you know what I felt as I looked at that? Well, I tell you what I didn't think. Well, that's just a card. That's not what I thought. Because I knew that what she wrote in that card in her own hand, I knew the heart that it came from. I knew the love that it came from. And when we read this book, though it is typeset, mostly in black and white, this is God revealing His mind and His heart to us for the renewing of our minds. That sounds a lot like Romans 12, doesn't it? For the renewing of our minds, for the transformation of our hearts, so that we might love Him and serve Him. And God has revealed it perfectly for those purposes. And this is where I go really fast, because I've said about all that I'm going to say tonight. So God calls us through His Word. Don't sit on the couch at home and say, I'm gonna sit here until the Lord speaks to me. That's not how it works. It's not how it works. If you want the Lord to speak to you, pick up the Bible, read it carefully, prayerfully. That is how He will let you know what you need to know in the written Word of God. But what through the Word is God calling us to? He's calling us to holiness. He's saying in the Word, you be holy, for I am holy. And so as we look at what He has revealed there, and it looks like I'm stuck. All right, we read about being pure in heart and life, what that looks like. We find that in the Word of God. And we read about what it means to be dedicated in our service to God. And rather than looking for excuses why, well, I can't do what God says, or I might make a mistake, you can follow God. Scripture makes that clear. I'm going to say a little bit more about that tomorrow night. But God calls us through His Word, and He equips us for service so that we can be more like Jesus the longer that we live. Also, God calls us not only to holiness, but He does call us to service. Romans chapter 12 talks about various different ways that different ones can serve God. And the bottom line is, He says that we by faith serve God using the gifts that God has given. And so His Word tells us right and wrong and ways to serve. Then we examine ourselves and we find out, okay, what talents do I have that I can make use of? And then we use those talents. Then we use them. I know a young man who at 15 years old heard a sermon on the parable of the talents. And when he heard that sermon on the parable of the talents at age 15 years old, he decided, you know what? I may not be the most talented guy in the world, but that's an important thing to be done. And I can do that to the honor and glory of God. He listened to the Word, and he preaches the gospel today. Because through Scripture, God calls us to service, and he knew he could serve in that capacity. And thus, he did, and he does. God's calling us to service. Thank God we have different gifts, but we need to use all those to God's glory. We are salt and we are light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Using God's gifts transforms us more and more into the image of Christ. I want to close with Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This is a great passage about us being conformed to the image of God. And as we look at it, what we see is this gives us greater hope day by day as we live for Jesus. Come with me. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. He says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." We are called according to His purpose. His purpose is for us to be Christ-like. That involves our salvation. That involves us growing to be more like Jesus every day. And that involves us living in anticipation of eternal glory. Keep reading. All the rest of that's here too, in one way or another. "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified." And I know all that's in the past tense in that verse. That doesn't mean that all that's already being accomplished. There's still some things yet to come. But I tell you what it does mean. If you take a really high view of everything that God is trying to do in you, that's what it is. That's what it is. He wants to take us from what we are, make us more like Jesus, because our scope is eternal life. Our hope is eternal life. What an amazing overview of what God is doing in us. He's forgiven us from our past. He who believes and is baptized, what happens? We'll be saved. He is transforming us in our present that we may be more like Jesus, conformed to His image in this passage. And all of that with a view to eternal glory. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that on Wednesday night, but we get some little glimpses of that now. Okay, so last night, we got to the potluck, and so we're there, and you get to meet a bunch of people never met before, and it was great. It was great. So there's John and Rhonda. I already knew them. That was amazing. Whoa, there's Richard and Don. I didn't even know they were here. And so got to see them, and that was great. And then I got to meet a lot more people that, like I say, I never met before. I met Amy King's sister. What is going on here? It was great. And so that's a little glimpse. That's a little glimpse of how wonderful it is to be a part of the family of God now. And those little reunions we have here on earth make me think of the eternal reunion that is yet to come. Then I'm sitting at the table with Liz, and we're having conversation with some amazing ladies, and John crashed the party. And so he came and he sat down beside us, and we have an amazing conversation with all of us at the table. It was wonderful. We talked about important Bible subjects, and we were all encouraged by that conversation. And then this little blessing all of a sudden was on John's knee, drooling a little bit on the shoulder too. Or it might have been worse. I couldn't see over there. I don't know what was going on that shoulder. The blessings God gives us here are little glimpses of eternal glory. I know we're in the city and you can't see it, but get out in the country sometime and look at the nighttime sky. There are many little glimpses of eternal glory that God gives us. And in His Word, He speaks more clearly to us than what we can see in nature about the eternal hope that we have in Jesus. So how does God call us today? Through the written Word. May we read it. May we study it. May we meditate upon it. May we live it. May we teach it to others. And may we make even more sure as it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure by living it and by living it for Jesus. This evening, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus, you can be a part of the family of God with the eternal hope that He provides as revealed in His Word. And if we can help you be baptized into Christ tonight, what a wonderful opportunity this is. If you've already done that, but you need prayer, as God's family, we will rally around you. We will pray to God on His throne about your needs, and then we'll help you as you keep going through life. We won't pray for you and drop you. We'll pray for you and we'll keep being an encouragement to you. But if you need to respond tonight, we hope you'll come while we stand and sing.